Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
My name is Leah Galkowski, and my official title is I'm a Safe Schools Coordinator with the Center for Safe Schools. Within the Center for Schools and Communities, we're housed in a building in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, but we're actually a division of the Central Susquehanna Intermediate Unit, which is a little bit more northeast, north central Pennsylvania. But our organization is actually international. We support the bullying prevention work internationally and another program developed by Myrna Shore called I Can Problem Solve. So we have not only Pennsylvania work, but we work outside the borders of Pennsylvania. I've been involved with the Alveus Bullying Prevention Program since 2001, when Pennsylvania initially trained 40 people in that specific evidence-based program. And that's, as a Safe Schools Coordinator, I was involved in the beginning of that work. It was under then Governor Ridge at that time, and his initiative was to address violence by and against youth. And one of the ways that Pennsylvania decided to focus on that work was through the Alveus Bullying Prevention Program. And we were able to support the training of 40 individuals within the state and support implementation of that evidence-based program in the state of Pennsylvania. So I've been working with that program since that time, since 2001. And just as of July 1st, we, the Center for Schools and Communities, has absorbed the coordination and implementation of that program internationally. It was previously housed at Clemson University, who are longtime partners with us, but it has, since the licensing agreement was signed by the Alveus family, we have taken over the development and implementation of that program.
So can you educate our viewers and our listeners as far as the difference between bullying and teasing? Because a lot of people kind of give those two interchangeably.
Well, absolutely. And there are some key components in the definition of bullying behavior that helps us distinguish between teasing good-naturedly and identifying bullying behavior. So there are a couple components that you need to think about when you're looking at these situations. And sometimes it is, you know, it's an issue that we need to dig deeper into and do a little bit of investigation to determine whether or not it's bullying or just good-natured teasing. So you need to think about the relationship between the two youth involved in the situation. Are they friends? Are they longtime friends? Have they been, you know, are they good-natured friends? Is this a typical activity for them? Or is there some type of power imbalance? And one of them is larger or older or more popular than the other. And the child who's receiving the teasing is not happy about it. They're not joking. They're not fun. And it's impacting them. So that power imbalance is one of the key factors. And the intention, was it meant to harm? I know a lot of students or youth will say, I didn't mean anything. And when in fact they really did. So, you know, those are a couple of the key factors that you need to keep in mind when examining those situations. Having and understanding that clear definition of bullying behavior is helpful. That's one of the key components of an evidence-based program, is everybody on the same page with the same language so that we can tease out some of those. That was a wrong use of that pun. But that we can understand better some of that behavior, whether it actually is bullying, if it's a conflict, or if it's just good-natured teasing among friends.
Thank you for that. What are some things that you would say that educators and maybe even parents, we'll just say educators and counselors, what are some things that they should look for when it comes to anyone who's either a victim of bullying or someone who's becoming a bully in the academic setting?
Well, and we should address them equally. I think we tend to focus on the child who's been bullied, And support them and get them the help and support that they need, when we also really do need to pay attention to that child who's bullying others. They have some horrible outcomes, some long-term adulthood outcomes related to those behaviors. So we need to address those behaviors early and often. And a couple of the things that we need to look for in youth who've been bullied is that, the withdrawing and change in behavior. Were they an A student and now they're a C or D student? Are they not coming to school? Are they appearing with physical symptoms, headaches, stomach aches, that type of thing? Or have they reported? I think that's the easiest thing to address. They've reported to us that the situation is happening. And then the child who is bullying others also has some long-term impacts, and we need to be concerned about that behavior. One of the things is that we know that children who've been identified as bullying others, as early as middle school, tend to have more convictions by the time they reach the age of 24. So we need to think about that entry into the criminal justice system and address those behaviors early and often so that we can, change some of those outcomes in the long run.
You touched on a few things that I kind of wanted to ask with your expertise. The first being, how much would you say school absenteeism is kind of linked to bullying behavior according to the research?
Well, our research focuses on reporting of bullying. So we do know that children who report that they have been bullied are more likely to not go to school. And it's actually that correlation goes to children who are also bullying others. They're also more likely to miss school. They're also more likely to get in fights and bring a weapon to school. So some of those things are related among children who are bullied and children who bully others. And I think you'll hear me say that, and maybe I should give a little bit of explanation of that. We tend not to say bully or victim or target. We tend to say the child who's been bullied and the child who bullies others, because we don't want to identify or label youth in either one of those categories, because what we know from the research is children and youth move in and out of those categories. We have children who've been bullied, we have children who bully others, and then we have children who have been bullied and then also bully others. So, we need to be careful about those labels and address the behavior as such and work with the youth according to, where they are.
One of the other things that I wanted to touch on, you had mentioned earlier about the connection between bullying and then it kind of being a domino effect in life and possibly even letting the one who is bullying eventually becoming a criminal and some sort of correlation there. What is the research show as far as that, or your expertise as far as that, to where we as educators could maybe educate parents who might not be as involved when it comes to trying defray these behaviors?
Well, one of the studies that we have, and it's actually an older study, but it has been replicated and supported by studies in the U.S. This one comes out of Norway that says that youth, and it was just among boys who were identified as bullying others in middle school, were four times more likely to have a conviction by the time that they reached the age of 24. And if they were involved in more frequent incidents of bullying, they were more likely to have multiple convictions by that same age.
That is alarming. What are some effective strategies you would say schools can use to reduce the amount of bullying incidents in their schools?
Well, one of the most ideas and thoughts and components of being an effective evidence-based intervention is that it's a school-wide approach. So it's not just one classroom or not just one assembly addressing bullying behavior. It's the entire school system addressing the behavior. The other thing is to be clear about the definition. You know, everybody has to understand what the definition of bullying is, and to be on the same page with the reporting process, understand the language, what's to be reported, and you know, who to report to, what's the process. So not just your teachers and your students, but everybody in the school building. We're also doing some work with community youth organizations. So having them on the same page, the places where our children go out of school time. So are they also talking the same language and under having the same definition about bullying behavior? The other thing is to make sure that everybody in the school has been trained. They understand what the definition is, they know what the reporting process is, and they're all on the same page with the same language. And that doesn't, like I said, that doesn't not just students and teachers, but that is all of the administration, the bus drivers, the food service staff, your maintenance staff, everybody. And parents who are coming into the school and supporting their kids, they know what the process is. All the caregivers involved with children and youth, you know, supporting them throughout their educational years.
That is absolutely helpful. And what I mean, we have the OLWIS website for the listeners. Where can they go to learn more about your bullying prevention program?
It's olweusprogram.com. So OLWEUS program.com. And you can find out all the definition, some of the statistics at that website, but in addition, what trainings and what course opportunities we have available.
And before I let you go, I kind of ask, I'll make a variation of this question, but what kind of lasting advice would you have for this next generation as they come up? And they might be a bully or they might be getting bullied, either or, what kind of advice would you have for them given your professional background?
One of the things I can say is that bullying behavior has long-term impacts to the student who's been bullied and to the student who's doing the bullying. It's important for us to address it early, consistently, and often, so that we're not experiencing those long-term impacts. We've also grown to understand that bullying behavior is an adverse childhood experience and it has long-term impacts on physical health. So I think that my point and what I want to emphasize is we need to understand that this isn't just a rite of passage. This isn't just something we have to get through as a child. This is something that will impact our lives well into adulthood. So we need to think clearly about our actions and our responses and make sure that we as adults in school buildings and the places that children gather are addressing the behavior. If it was left up to youth to take care of it, it wouldn't be. It would not be a thing. But children are experiencing it, and we as adults need to take responsibility to do what we can to make sure that it is intervened and stopped when it does happen, and do what we can to prevent it from happening.
Well, Leah, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be interviewed, and we can't wait to learn more. And I can't thank you enough for all that you do for the communities.
Well, thank you, Ralph. I really appreciate you inviting us, and I'm excited for this opportunity. So thank you.